verses 1 through 3. It reads as follows. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let's pray. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Speak, Lord, your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We want to start this series in the new year. Everyone is focused on being financially fit, physically fit, mentally, emotionally fit. I'm going to talk about being spiritually fit and the necessity of spiritual nourishment. In preparation for this sermon series, I was reading an article by Dr. Chuck Swindoll concerning the priorities of spiritual nourishment. And I quote, "No one can deny the importance of nutrition. Our level of energy, our ability to cope with life challenges, and even our mental attitude is directly linked to the proper intake of the right foods eaten regularly and in proper amounts. We've all experienced times when we have not eaten a balanced diet, or we have eaten too many sweets, or we have been in a hurry and completely skipped a meal altogether. Invariably, we have endured the consequences of feeling sick, lightheaded, occasionally depressed, or we become irritated and jumpy. Sometimes we've gotten a little shaky. And it's the body's way of letting us know that it's lacking nourishment. This effect, optimal health, requires optimal nutrition. The same is true, spiritually speaking. Without sufficient and regular nutrition, our inner life begins to suffer the consequences. Our souls long to be fed, nourished, and energized on a regular basis. When we fail to set aside time to absorb healthy spiritual food, it isn't long before the consequences kick in. And it's not a pretty sight. We start to operate in the flesh rather than under the control of God's Spirit. We get shallow and selfish, more demanding, less gentle, quick to react impatiently, rashly, and angrily. These are all signs of inner malnutrition. Peter, in writing this letter to the dispersed believers throughout Asia Minor, had to deal with the pressures without and the pressures within. I know you have those too. They were exiles in the modern-day Turkey in Asia Minor. They were pressured from without by the Roman government and the persecution that they had to endure for the name of Christ. And they were pressured from within by false teachers and false prophets who were leading them astray in the gospel. No matter our status in life as followers of Christ, growth is always the necessary ingredient to conquer and to cope with the conflicts and challenges of life. And Peter provides for us with spiritual steps that will lead us into a pathway of spiritual maturity. Peter reminds us in his phrase in verse 1, chapter 2, some of your Bibles have therefore, others have so, which goes back to 1 Peter 1, 23 and 25. Peter reminds his readers that they have experienced the new birth through this this living and abiding and imperishable word of God called the gospel. 1 Peter 1:3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And as Peter begins to expound upon the impact that the gospel should have in our lives, he quotes Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8, which is 1 Peter chapter 1, 24 through 25. He supports this reality of the immutable, unchanging, imperishable, abiding word of God in light of the Old Testament truth that is now revealed in the New Testament. This is what we call progressive revelation. The greater understanding of Isaiah 40, 6 through 8 is seen in the gospel, which is the abiding, imperishable, living word of God that will never change, that remains the same. And no matter what changes we go through, God's word remains the same. If we stand in that word that remains the same, it will do to us what it has done to us when we were first saved. To keep us in the middle of our salvation and to the end of our life. This word will never relinquish its hold on our eternal destiny, no matter what we go through in time. The imperishable word was the content of Peter's preaching. God's word not only imparts life to us, but it also nurtures and sustains life within us. And that's the Zoe life of God, the new birth, the new life we have through Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Well, that's Zoe life, that's spiritual life, that's eternal life, that's an enduring life because it comes from the message of God, which is imperishable, abiding, and living. And so he says, as a result of that, therefore, so we must have the word of God. It is a necessity for life, just like food and water. So is scripture, so is prayer, so is obedience, so is faith. It's necessary to your personal and corporate spiritual growth. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so he provides for us in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, he says this. He gives us an indicative statement, a statement of who you are. And then he's going to give us an imperative statement, a statement of what we should do because of who we are. Beloved, you got to get this right. If you don't, see, in the Christian world, we're not getting this right. We're having people who are not in Christ try to be like Christ. And those who are in Christ, they're so malnutritioned, they don't know how to be like Christ. You hear what I'm saying this morning? It is a real issue. He's not talking to people who are just church members, nor is he talking to people who are just religious. He's not talking to people who quote the Bible. They didn't even have a Bible to quote. He's not talking to people who were reading the Bible every day because they didn't have the Bible to read every day. These are the people who were born, were caused to be born again through the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were followers of the Lamb, and they sacrificed their lives to validate and give evidence that Jesus was real. No matter what kind of issues they were experiencing in the
says, since you have been born again, not of what? Perishable seed, but of what? Imperishable seed, through the living and abiding word of God. That's who I'm talking to this morning. Those who fit that reality. Does that indicative apply to you? Are you born again? Have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior into your heart and life? Is he Lord and not just Savior? We have a gospel where we just make him our Savior and not our Lord. So he'll be my Savior for eternity. I'll be my Lord for time. I'll live my life the way I want to live it. And then when I die, he'll save me and I won't end up going to hell. No, he has to be Lord and Savior. That's what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Kyrios, Lord, sovereign ruler, then it says what? That's what it says. You have to acknowledge his lordship and you will be saved. Because with the heart, you believe to righteousness. With the mouth, you make a confession unto salvation. And anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They will not be disappointed. So Peter is talking to people who are being pressured within, pressured without. And you know what I'm talking about, because you have pressures within and you have pressures without. And you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to work it out. And God has already provided the way. This is indicative. This is who you are. And because of who you are, this is what you should do. Repent. That's 1 Peter 2:1. He says, therefore, remember, your indicative, beloved, speaks about who you are. Your imperative speaks about, because of who you are, this is what you should do. He says, repent. Verse 1. So put away. Put away what? All malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Repentance is called for because of who we are. See, because of who we are, metanoia, that's the word repent, we can change our mind about what we're in. And then we can turn away from it and go in the direction that God wants us to go. We can make a 180. We don't have to get stuck in our pressure, internal, external. And we can move in a direction that pleases God. He says, because of who you are, repent. Peter then lists five sins of attitude and speech. If we harbor these attitudinal sins, it will drive division in our relationships with one another. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. None of these should characterize the life of a born-again man and woman. It shouldn't characterize your life. I didn't say you're going to fight with it in your life, but you shouldn't be known for this. Rather, in obedience to the word, believers are to make a decisive break from the past. I want us to examine three things during this series on how to grow up in Christ. First thing we're going to look at is, what is the word like? And secondly, we're going to talk about how to be motivated to desire the word. Because a lot of us are complaining we don't desire the Bible. I think that's an internal problem. Thirdly, how to take in the word of God. So Peter gives us three qualities concerning the word of God. And we're going to talk about the first one today. What is the word like? The word is like. Filling in the blanks here. The word is like. What is the word like? Well, 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it, the pure spiritual milk, you may grow up into your salvation. The word is like this. The word is a word is pure. The word pure is from the Greek word adolin, which is contrast with the Greek term dolin, which means deceit. Adolin with the alpha means literally not deceitful, unadulterated, not watered down. If you're going to receive nutrients what is real and what is fake. Dishonest merchants in that day would add water to the milk to make it more profitable. You get more water and less milk. This was deceitful milk, watered down milk that provided no nutrients for the body. And Peter exhorts us to long, to desire, to crave, to yearn for what? The pure milk of the Word. Not deceitful milk, not watered down milk, not just, you know, sugar pills, spiritual sugar pills to make us feel good about our condition, but real medicine that would truly bring real healing to our hearts and minds. David writes in Psalms 19, verse 8, he says, "The law of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." So the commands or instructions of the Lord is without blemish. They're morally perfect, and they're free from any corruption of evil intent. This means that the Bible, beloved, if taken seriously and sincerely, will tell you the truth, will expose your hypocrisy, will address your narcissism or your selfishness, and it will transform you within, and it will lead you on a path that pleases God. God's word does not deceive. God is not playing games with us. He's not trying to trick us to live a way that's not profitable for us. He's trying to help us to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. That in our relationships, interpersonally, we will reflect him more and us less. See, God's word does not deceive. Listen to me. Neither should God's truth. What about you? Do you deceive people? Do you posture before people? Do you present an image of yourself that's not true to people? Do you put on your religiosity and your spirituality and whatever else and try to impress others by your life? Christians should approach the Word of God with clean hearts, clean mind, an eager expectation to grow spiritually, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. If our goal is not Jesus Christ, then what's the goal? If our goal for being a Christian is to be blessed and highly favored, is to never get sick and always be healed, is to have all our interpersonal relationships working smoothly without any disruptions, on and on and on, if it's just for me to look good and to floss for God and to have drip on, what's the point of the Christian life? You can do that without Jesus. The goal of the Christian life is to manifest who Jesus is to the world. And you can't do that unless you grow spiritual. The Bible declares that the root cause of our lack of desire to grow is what? S-I-N. Sins of thought, sins of speech, sins of behavior. That's what he told us to do away with. To rip it off ourselves like dirty, filthy clothes. By confronting our sin and presenting God's remedy for it, which is confession and repentance, the pure word of God will produce lasting healing. So the nature of the word is pure. Now, this week, last 2 weeks, I've been dealing with a process of healthy living. It's called people. to me. But it's good. Everything in the Word of God is good. It's not the first thing I will run to. But if I stay away from it, I'm going to kill myself. I've got to run to it. Because in it, there's hidden properties spiritually. So, beloved, the Word is pure. I experienced my first episode. To the hospital. I didn't have a temperature. I just had everything else that comes with feeling. I was shaking. I trembled a little bit. I was cold. I had two blankets on me. I was constantly running back and forth to the bathroom, you know. And I was thinking, Kim, I'm sick. She said, you got keto food. That's what you have. Because I'm dealing with all this pure stuff now. And my body's not used to. Secondly, it's right there in your text, pure spiritual milk. It's the word spiritual. That word is rational. The word is not only pure, it's rational. It's rational. The spiritual word also means rational word or reasonable. It's from the Greek word logikos. Logikos. The only time this word logikos is used outside of 1 Peter 2 is Romans 12:1. In Romans 12:1, where Paul says, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, which is our reasonable, our rational, our spiritual logikos form of worship. That's worship. It is the spiritual thing to do, is to take in the Word of God on a constant basis. Like you take in water, supposedly 8 ounces a day, supposedly. Supposedly. But we don't. But it's good that we do. How about the Word of God? How many ounces of the Word do you get a day? How much time do you think on the Word and think on the thing? Do you think on these things? Even when you're hurting, you're thinking on Him. Even when you're struggling, you're meditating on Him. Even when you're at pressure within and without, you're thinking about who He is in your life and who you are. That's what Peter is saying to these people under persecution. Now, we're not under persecution, but we're under pressure. We're under pressure to obey God with all our hearts or obey our own hearts. Don't obey your heart. Obey the Word of God. Bring your heart under the Word of God. I watched a movie of King David that was done by Hollywood, and at the end of the movie, they had King David dying, you know. He was dying at the end of his life, and he was talking to his son. Listen to the prophets. Listen to your heart. You know, it's a Hollywood. Don't listen to the prophets where God spoke through in the Old Testament time. Listen to your heart. Don't listen to your heart. Your heart will get you in trouble. You need a renewed heart, a renewed mind, a restored soul, a revived spirit. I know this don't sound good this year because it's about spiritual fitness. There's all other stuff we can do. We feel good about ourselves that we're doing. When it comes to spiritual fitness, when it comes to spiritual exercises, in sacrificial service in view of his great mercies to you. Peter uses the analogy of a mother breastfeeding her newborn baby's desire for milk to explain the reality of feeding on the spiritual milk of the living and abiding Word of God. The spiritual milk is rational. In other words, it's grasped by the redeemed mind. If you're a believer, born again, man, regenerated, spirit-filled, you can rationally grasp the Word of God. The Word of God makes sense to you, what I'm saying. It won't make sense to unsaved people. It won't make sense to religious people. And sometimes it don't make sense to church people. But those who have been born of the Spirit by the gospel, the Word of God makes sense to the mind. The Christian faith transforms the mind. Human reason must be subject to the written revelation of God's Word given in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says to the church at Corinth, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, they're foolishness to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually understood. And in Hebrews 11, 3, it says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. See, you cannot know God without using your mind, since he has revealed himself in propositional truth of the written revealed Word. What we know of God has been revealed because the prophets and the apostles wrote it down in a propositional form. J.I. Packer states, the mind must be instructed and enlightened before faith and obedience become possible. We need disciples. Jesus said, as you go, make disciples, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded. And lo, I'm with you always until the end of the world. There's an education that takes place, but a spiritual education in the mind. In 1 Peter 1:13, in the context of the second coming, Peter says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's future. But do now for that future experience. And 1 Peter 3:8, in the context of suffering for righteousness, he says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. You got to think right about yourself. Not think less about yourself, or don't think about yourself at all, but to think right about yourself. Think correctly about yourself. And 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he says, be sober-minded. In the context of demonic attacks and trials, be sober-minded. The 2 Peter 3:1, in the context of the end times in which we are living today, he says, this is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. He said, I'm speaking to your mind, your inner person, your inner man. God's truth must affect not only the head objectively. Beloved, it must also affect the heart subjectively. What we think and how we feel about God's truth must be balanced for healthy spiritual maturation. The mind and the heart are used interchangeably in the Bible. So whatever gets into my mind will get into my heart and impact my behavior anyway. The spiritual milk, the living and abiding Word of God, must fill our minds in the knowledge of God and move our hearts with his majesty and his love. Beloved, the Word is life. you need for yourself that applies to your present pressure. You know, some people love that verse. My God shall supply, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You may need that because you're looking for God's provisions. You need God to meet your needs. And you're under pressure and you need a need met. Well, you hold on to that all month. All month. And just repeat that every morning, every night. Place that before you and meditate and think about what God is saying to you through that verse. Beloved, I guarantee you, in the pressure that you're going through, when it comes to what kind of provision you need in your life, God may do a miracle in your regard. And the miracle may mean you accepting your situation in a way you never could. It may be God just pouring everything into your lap and showing you he's all that too. But the point is that you have focused your mind on his word in a way you never focused before. The word is pure. The word is rational. The word is nourishing. Peter is referring, he said, that pure spirit long for, desire, yearn for, crave for, that pure spiritual milk. By it you may grow. Paul is referring to a mother's milk as an analogy of newborns makes clear. He isn't contrasting the milk of God's word with meat. Don't make that analogy with 1 Corinthians 2:3. As Paul does in 1 Corinthians 3:2. In 1 Corinthians 3:2, Paul says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready. Then why were they not ready? Because they were acting like they were in the flesh. Those attitudinal sins and conducts were creating division in the church. And they divided the leaders of the church. And they divided the head of the church into groups. I'm of Paul's party. I'm of Apollo's party. I'm of Jesus' party. That was the worst group of them all. It was that Jesus party. Because Paul set the prophets and the apostles and the pastors and teachers to lead. And they didn't want to come under any human leadership. It would just be me and Jesus. That's not in the Bible. So we are called constantly, in Peter's perspective, is to feed on the nourishing milk of the word constantly. Now, this verse is not measuring, beloved, the degree of spiritual growth, but the desire for spiritual growth. That's what Peter is dealing with, one's desire to grow. The milk is simple enough for the infants in the faith, but solid enough for those who are mature in the faith. Or should I say, those who think they're more mature in the faith. The milk is solid for you as well. So the nature of breast milk is designed by God as a perfect food for newborn babies. It will immunize the baby from many illnesses. It will nourish the baby for degrees of growth. God's word is also designed to protect Christians from spiritual diseases and nourishes them to grow into Christ's likeness. That's his whole point of saving us, that we may be conformed to his image. Romans 8:29. Do you know that a mother's milk will make her baby grow for months without any solid food? God's word will nourish Christians so that they may grow up in Christ, so they may grow up into their salvation. Peter means salvation in its ultimate sense. That ultimate sense is glorification. That ultimate sense is experiencing all that comes with our ultimate glorification. George MacDonald states, all growth that is not toward God Most people like to grow before people so that people can see how grown you have become. But growth in the body is to the head, who is Christ. It's not to the person you're sitting next to. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of His divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Our desire comes from God. How shall a young man treasuring the Word of God in their hearts? God will give us that desire. Philippians 2 says that God, 2:13, that God is at work within us as energeo. The energy of God is at work in us, giving us the desire, that's called will, and the ability to do what pleases Him. It's not that we can't experience that. It's that we don't desire that. And how you deal with that lack of desire is called repent. That's what it's called. Because sin is stopping that desire from flowing. Beloved, you will never reach a place in this life where you can stop growing spiritually. If you memorize all the verses in the Bible, from Old to New Testament, you're still not spiritually growing. You'll never reach it. You'll never reach it just by knowing the Bible. You only reach it by becoming like Jesus. Look at you. Are you like Jesus today? Be honest with yourself. Don't tell nobody. Admit to yourself where your shortcomings is and your reflection of Jesus, the Christ. We're not there. We're pressing towards the mark. We have our eyes on the prize, but we're not a living manifestation of Christ's likeness. We are becoming more like Him. One thing that is obvious about kids is that they're excited about growing up. Just about every home with children has or have had a growth chart. Every few months, you measure your kids and say, wow, look like you're tall. You have grown since last time. God's children should be excited about growing in respect to their salvation. We're not too excited. We have charts in our house. Talking about our spiritual development. Just as physical growth is not instant or readily seen, so it is with spiritual growth. You probably won't see it today, but if you keep feeding on the milk of God's living and abiding Word, you will be nourished toward spiritual maturity. That's what the Word of God is like. Psalms 19, verse 7 through 10 says, the Word of God will restore the soul because it's perfect. It will make the wise simple because it's sure. It will make the heart rejoice because it's right. It will enlighten the eyes because it's pure. Do you hear what the psalmist is saying? He's saying the same thing that Peter's revealing to us about the living and abiding and perishable Word of God. Because that's what it is. And then in verse 10 he says, more to be desired are they than gold. Do you really feel that? Is this more than having $1 million? Is this more than winning the lottery? Us would challenge that statement because we're so natural in our quote spirituality. He said it's more to be desired.